Lou Manfredini here. Do you have cracked or sunken concrete areas around your home? Call PermaSeal for a free estimate. Don't replace it, raise it. Call 800-421-7325 or visit permaseal.net.
Dr. Dana Varble is the Chief Veterinary Officer for the North American Veterinary Community. I like to call her Chicago's Exotic Pet Vet because that's where you will find her here in the city, actually Chicagoland. How are you today? There you are. I heard you click in now.
Good. A little warm today. Trying to stay cool just like everybody else.
Yeah, I was thinking of our conversation the last time we were talking about the heat and how you saw some people come in and their dog's paws were seriously burned and injured because of the hot pavement. I really hope people pay attention to that because, I don't know, I would be devastated if that happened to my animal.
It's pretty upsetting. And I think a lot of times it's funny, too, is people don't realize it's happening. And then all of a sudden their dogs are doing these weird, like, little tiptoe dances. And they're like, what's going on with you? You don't usually walk like that. And that's when you realize, oh, no, something's happened to these feet. And it's pretty dramatic. Yeah.
Be aware, people. Be aware. Someone sent a text and they said, because I mentioned about the article that I sent called, how doodles became a cutthroat billion-dollar dog industry. And someone said, I'm in the pet industry, and these people that buy doodles or any dog like that have no idea how messed up and interbred these animals are. Doodles are taking over shelters.
Yeah.
It really is a billion-dollar industry?
It really is, yeah. So doodles, you know, for those of you, again, a little background, doodles were kind of this craze that started probably about 20, maybe 30 years ago now. We've always had poodle mixes. You know, think about the cockapoo that maybe your grandparents or an aunt had back in the day. That was truly a doodle, too, in a way. It was a cocker spaniel and a miniature poodle mix. Someone got the brilliant idea, again, maybe 30, and I'm probably quoting wrong, so it's going to get online. It was a doodle expert and tell me exactly when it started. Thought that mixing a standard poodle, which is the larger version of a poodle, and other hunting breeds would create this amazing solve-all-problems dog. So we have golden doodles, and we have labradoodles, and we have bernedoodles, and we have generations of doodles now. And, you know, look, I love every dog, even dogs that don't like me. But doodles can be really challenging in some ways because it's a newer breed, relatively speaking. It means that even when we get a quote-unquote purebred doodle, which there's really not a purebred, keep in mind, these are all mixed breeds, the size, the temperament, what the coat is going to look like is going to be less predictable. So we're getting these dogs, you know, a lot of folks will get a doodle puppy and the breeder will say, well, the mom was 40 pounds and the dad was 50. I'd be doubt the dog weighed anything more than that. And we come to find out that grandpa weighed 95 and this dog picked up some recessive genes and weighs 85 pounds now. So, you know, if you got a dog thinking you were going to have a smaller dog, maybe you have a weight limit at your apartment complex, or you just didn't, you know, you can't walk a 60-pound dog, and you've got a puppy that you think is going to be 50 pounds at the most, and now all of a sudden you've got an 85-pound dog, that can be really challenging for people. So it's about kind of this predictability thing. We've got dogs that are very unpredictable size, shape, temperament, and even medical problems.
Okay, I have to share this story, and I'm only sharing it because I hope it enlightens people. I have an acquaintance, and I did not know her when she signed this contract. Young professional, wanted a doodle, couldn't afford the $3,000 they were asking. So she signed a contract saying, I will take the dog for free, but you can take the dog back and breed her and have puppies. And she just gave that dog back to the breeder. The dog's gone 8 weeks while she nurses puppies, and then she gets it back, and they have the right to breed that dog three times. Now, that dog just gave birth to 10 puppies. That's $30,000 for that breeder.
Yeah.
This dog will make them $90,000. She gets nothing in return other than she gets to take care of this dog. You guys, don't do this, because there are so many beautiful animals that need homes that we don't need to be doing this backyard breeding BS.
Yeah. You know, if you have a real interest in a breed, let's talk about, there are some great breeders out there. Folks that are breeding like Labradors for field trials, who have very specific goals with their breeding program. One, these dogs are going to be super expensive. Two, their parents are both going to be successful in the field or in whatever task that the breeder is trying to achieve. So, you know, again, a field trial dog or an agility dog is going to come from breeders that are specifically looking for those types of traits. They're going to have medical testing done, eyes, elbows, hips checked, a lot of times heart checked. They're going to have parents that have multiple titles on them. And if you're getting into that, it's because you're probably going to be looking for a dog to do that exact task with. Mm-hmm. And you're probably prepared to spend that money. But again, for most of us that are just looking for a pet, go to a shelter, check it out. The one thing I always say is there is a shocking number of purebred dogs in shelters and humane societies across America. So if you're looking for a purebred dog because you want something very predictable, by all means, look in the shelter first. You'd be surprised.
Absolutely. In fact, I know at Paws Chicago, you can put your name on a list. If you want a King Charles Cavalier, put your name on a list. When they get one, they'll call you and you can meet it and see if you make a match, you know. Questions are coming
amazing.
In for horses and for dogs. Dr. Dana Varble is with us. She answers those next. Jimmy Buffett was such an animal lover, but it was his manager that traveled with him. And Jimmy had the greatest stories because his manager's dog flew with them. And every time he'd get on the plane, he'd be a little gassy, doctor. He'd be a little gassy.
I've heard of that with car rides. I haven't really worked with the type of clientele that are reaching out to me going, we're having a plane ride gas problem. And I was, it happens. Everybody gets nervous.
Not everybody has a private jet like Jimmy Buffett did.
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah. Dr. Dana Varble is the chief veterinary officer for the North American veterinary community. She's also with Chicago's Exotic Pet Vet, and we have a horse question today. We never get horse questions.
Ooh.
I'm glad that we've got someone listening. They said their vet prescribed Equox for their retired racehorse and says he should stay on one a day forever. He takes no other meds. Is it okay to stay on a med forever? Does he ever need to take a break?
So I would guess that this is probably some sort of anti-inflammatory, and it is very, very common for aging horses to be on anti-inflammatory meds, especially in this case, like if they had an athletic background. So very similar to humans, you know, think about ex-football players and former basketball players and gymnasts. They were tough on their joints when they were younger. They were training hard, exercising a lot. But it's not unusual for old racehorses, hunter jumpers, and even just, you know, very busy, I should say, a lot of those Western pleasure horses to even have some joint problems as they age. These medications are incredibly safe for horses. They're actually one of the species that tolerate anti-inflammatories the best. So it is actually very, very safe and in many ways preferred to keep them on them forever.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you the other thing. Sometimes if you take a break, it kind of sets them back too much.
Mm.
So you really want to just talk with your vet, make sure things are staying safe. You know, they can get GI upset with them, but a lot of times the preference is, to keep them on those medications.
Yeah. I had a horse off the track, and they wear down those joints. And I've got an old dog who takes that arthritis shot every month, and boy, it works wonders.
Mm-hmm. It does. They can be really life-changing for these aging animals. If they just weren't moving well, we start them on these meds, and I hear back from owners like, oh my God, what did you do, Doc? My dog's acting like a puppy again. And that's great news.
Yeah. Hey, someone said, can you ask Dr. Dana about Guardia? My 7-year-old rescued GSD has it. Oh. Giardia, right?
Giardia.
Yeah.
So Giardia, yes. Oh, so Giardia is a waterborne parasite. The thing that's upsetting about it is guess who can get it?
Ugh. We can.
Yes. And it causes usually diarrhea. For some reason, some dogs seem to be a little more prone to getting it. You know, they can pick it up anywhere. And it used to be like this disease that was very limited to rural areas, places with cattle, horses, the woods. But it's spread really rapidly, and it's kind of in a lot of places now. So they can pick it up just, you know, running around on the grass, drinking water, you know, licking the grass, silly things. So they pick up this parasite. It's usually something that we treat with a type of antibiotic that also treats Giardia. So there's a couple of options. Very rarely we'll run into a resistant case. Now, that's more common in young dogs. You have an older dog. I have a feeling after medication from your vet, you're probably going to be just fine.
Yeah, because, you know, my new pup came with it. She came out of a kill shelter in Alabama, and it was brutal. Just make sure you wear your gloves and you clean up very well, because that those little microorganisms, they live for a long time. Well, do they?
I
think so, yeah.
Yeah, they live for a long time, but you cannot wash your hands enough with your dog with Giardia. Let me just tell you, wash. Like you said, gloves are a great idea. Try and just be a little extra careful right now.
Right, and keep them away from other dogs till they're well, right?
Ideally, yeah. What you're going to find is that it's not spread dog to dog, but of course dogs go out in the world and they poop, and the poop spreads it. So, yeah.
All right.
And unfortunately, they have Giardia, they poop everywhere.
Yes, oh my gosh, I know. Okay, this new Ohio law, I'm not sure I completely understand it, but there's a new law in the books in Ohio, and it's designed to remove barriers to pet care. Did you read that article? Can you better tell me what that's about?
I did. So this is a new thing, and it is popping up in several places. And what this is right now in most states, you have to physically see your veterinarian to establish a relationship for your veterinarian to be able to like legally prescribe medications, make recommendations, so on and so forth. And you have to do that once a year. And it has to be in person in most states. In Illinois, you have to come in to see me at least once a year. You can't call me. I can't prescribe medication over the phone. We have to see each other. The new law in Ohio drops that. So it allows veterinarians to establish what they call a patient relationship, a client-patient relationship in these cases, without coming in to see them. And I'll tell you, I have a love-hate relationship with these things.
I bet. You could potentially prescribe the wrong medication, right? I mean,
or we could miss something. Yeah. You know, I think it can be really useful sometimes. Give a couple of examples. I love doing surgery rechecks this way. I don't necessarily need you to bring your puppy that has having no problems back in after surgery just to check an incision. We can do it over the phone. We can do some videos, some photos, and usually we're going to be okay. But I've also heard stories, you know, where like a cat that had diarrhea and it wasn't going away. And they finally went to see the vet in person. And it's because the vet could feel a tumor growing in its belly. And all this time, we missed an opportunity to maybe approach this differently. So I will say this. These laws are very interesting. I hope that we're using them judiciously. I think they can be beneficial. You know, if you have a dog that is like panicked and is aggressive and is freaking out, the ability to prescribe drugs before I see that might be really helpful. I would love to be able to do that. But I think we always have to take these things. Hopefully they're being used well. And if that's the case, they could be really powerful. But we have to keep in mind, we might still need to come see the vet too.
Thank you so much. You are the best. We appreciate the fact that you joined us.
Thank you so much, everyone. Have a great weekend.
Dr. Dana Varbal, Chief Veterinary Officer for the North American Veterinary Community.